I want you to know, my friend, that I have found a Savior, and He's sweet, and I recommend you to Him. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who has his confidence in Him.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Delivered in recognition of Black History Month and briefly referencing the history of black slavery in America and the Western Hemisphere, Pastor Brian Grant speaks with the theme, Freedom is Not Free. But using that as a backdrop, Pastor Grant offered as to how Americans of all races have adopted a strange and ungodly concept of freedom that can only lead to slavery of a worse sort. Under the guise of freedom, we have adopted and legitimized all sorts of behavior with which God is not pleased. Suppressing the truth, we have abandoned God and become slaves to our own lust. But there is hope, and we will hear about that this evening as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, Rediscovering God. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
When we forget God, we lose our freedom. But secondly, when we forget God, we lose our faith. I'm at 2 Kings. Let's jump back to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Kuhath, Avahimath, and from Shephravim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. I want you to notice what's going on here. I wish we had time to discuss some of the history here, because there's a whole lot of Bible history going on. So Assyria took the Jews from Samaria, took them and scattered them over Assyrian territory, and then they brought people from their Assyrian territories and now resettle them in Israel, in Samaria. You're starting to understand what is this issue between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans really, there obviously probably were some other Jews there, but the Jews are now going to be intermarrying with the Samaritans who have been brought, with these Assyrians who have been brought into Samaria. And they're assimilated. Okay, you're starting to see what's going on. Verse 25, it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, we do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Okay, so the Assyrians are saying to their king, hey, you have brought us here to Israel, and because we don't know the rituals of the land, he has sent lions, their God has sent lions, and they're killing us. Verse 27, then the king of Assyria commanded, send there one of the priests whom you brought there. So bottom line, you read it on your own. I'll tell you the story. They brought some of the priests from some priests that they had taken out of Israel. They brought them back to Israel. So some who had been taken to Assyria were now brought back to teach these people how to worship God, okay? So you guess what happened? It didn't end up so sweet, okay? It didn't end up so sweet, because if you look now in verse number 33, they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods. You see what's going on? We served the Lord, but we served according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. We have a mixed up situation. Listen. So now we understand. I there's an African American religion called the Black Israelites. And I don't know if you know what that's all about, because the underpinning of that, it's something to appeal to us as black, because we say the 10 lost tribes of Israel, okay? They're saying there are 10 lost tribes of Israel, and we are really a part of these 10 lost tribes. Oh, you didn't hear that one before, okay? But here's the thing. I don't want to be one of the lost tribes. Somehow they make it seem that being a part of the lost tribe is a good thing. But the lost tribes were people that God condemned and abandoned and made them take them captive into Assyria. And they were assimilated. There is no real blessing in trying to prove I'm one of the 10 lost tribes. My goodness, why would I want to be a member of the 10 lost tribes when I have the privilege of being a member of the church? And we can sing, He's done so much for me. Hallelujah. He has done so much for me. As a member of the body of Christ, why do I want to be a member of any 10 lost tribe? Listen, if you're one of those, if you're listening to me and you've been attacked, you've been influenced by this group, let it go. Let it go and find fulfillment and freedom in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, my foreparents did not know much theology, but they had a simple faith in God. And believe that the God who delivered them from slavery, who delivered Israel from slavery, would eventually deliver them. And he did. Amen. They realized there was only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so despite the brutality of slavery, choir, help me sing it. He's done so much. He's sweet, I know. Listen, how does it start? How does it start? He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. I wish I could sing. Strong winds may blow. But I'll tell the world wherever I may go. Hallelujah. I found a Savior. And He's sweet, I know.
Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Is He your Savior?
Oh, hallelujah. I was only 9 years old when I received Him as my Savior. And I can truly say I found a Savior. And He's sweet. He's sweet. My friend, I want to speak to somebody this morning. You're struggling. You're floundering from pillar to post. I want you to know, my friend, that I have found a Savior, and He's sweet, and I recommend you to Him. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who has his confidence in Him. I want to challenge you, young person, older person, whoever you might be, come to Jesus and make a decision not just to be saved, make a decision to live for Him. Amen. You know, I met people who are so disillusioned by America's race problems, they're searching for a God who looks like them. But friends, there's only one God. He made all of us from one dirt. He didn't use some red dirt and black dirt and yellow dirt and white dirt. We're all from the same dirt, and He didn't even tell us what color the dirt is. Because if He told us what color the dirt was, you may say, oh, it's my God. We don't even know what color dirt it was. All we know, it was dirt. And thank God He made us all. He's the God of us all. I'm not looking for a black Messiah, and you don't have to look for a yellow Messiah. Because listen, Jesus Christ, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to shed His red blood on the cross of Calvary. And the red blood of Jesus is able to cleanse the sin of anyone who has red blood. Now, if you got white blood or green blood, can't save you. But if when I cut you, red blood comes, hallelujah. And I think all of us have that red blood, amen. And thank God for Jesus. I don't look for anybody else. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. In fact, the Bible says, whereby we must be saved. There is no other one but Jesus. My friend, if you miss Jesus, you miss it all. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And oh, this morning we pray that you will come to know Jesus. Oh, we have been abandoning God. And when we abandon God, we lose our freedom and we lose our faith. So let me quickly just say two things about steps to rediscovering God. You know, after Israel was taken captive by Assyria in 720 BC, you would assume this would be a wake-up call for Judah. But like so many people today, nay. You know, it's a pity, but some people, God allows some tough things to come into our lives to try and get our attention. Perhaps you're listening to me this morning, and God has allowed some tough things to come into your life or the life of your family. He's trying to get your attention, but somehow you are so, what is the word? Obstinate. I am not going to turn. Well, that's what Israel was like. Can you imagine? 10 tribes had been now captured. God was warning them about what would happen if they continued rebellion. 10 tribes have been taken. The other, only 2 are left. You would think these 2 tribes would behave themselves? No. In fact, not long after that, Manasseh became king, and Manasseh became the most wicked king in Judah's history. It's unbelievable. After Israel is taken captive, Manasseh becomes the most wicked king. Seems like he was daring God. God eventually dealt with him. But you know, and eventually in 640 BC, Manasseh's grandson, Josiah, became king. And although he was only 8 years old, he decided to rediscover the God of his forefather, David. And that takes us to our reading for today. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22 as we try and land the plane in 5 or 6 minutes. 2 Kings chapter 22. So here, here's the first important thing we must do if we're going to rediscover God. We must pursue God. Put this down. We must pursue God with our whole heart. 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of, and I'll skip those names. Steve was good at reading them. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Hallelujah. We must pursue God with our whole heart. Josiah did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. He served God with his whole heart. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we serve the Lord with our lips. But our hearts are far from him. We have a lot of talk. Sometimes we're good at playing church and we're impressing everybody in church. Everybody thinks I'm all that. But if I'm really going to rediscover God, I must pursue God with my whole heart. And my friend, as you're listening this morning, whether you're here or you're watching the internet, are you pursuing God with your whole heart? If not, it's time to make a total commitment of your life to him today. This is your day. This is your hour. This is your time to stop the half-stepping. It's your time to say, God, I'm going to pursue you with my whole heart. But second, we must obey God's word with our whole heart. Not only must we pursue God with our whole heart, but secondly, we must obey God's word with our whole heart. In the scripture reading that was read for us, we heard that King Josiah had ordered them to repair the temple, and that during the repair, the book of God's law was found. Oh, I wish we had time. I'm coming back to Josiah some other time when the Lord leads me to, because there's so much here in the as we talk about this man, Josiah, that I wish we had time to talk about, but it was evident we would not. But in 2 Kings chapter 22, let's jump to verse number 11. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book. King Josiah is hearing the words, God's word, that God's word which was lost. Oh, Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Akbor the son. Okay, let's skip those names. Verse number 13. He says, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of the book to do according to all that is written concerning us. When Josiah heard God's word, it broke his heart, and he was determined to obey it. Are you passionate about obeying God's word? Stop. You know, when I was, sometimes when I talk about things that we are against, we get all excited. But here's the question. Are you passionate about obeying God's word? Don't miss the end of verse 13. Josiah said, God's wrath is kindled against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. Listen, a previous generation or generations had been sloppy in their dedication to God and to keeping the word of God. And I want to, as I've studied this subject, I ask myself, and I want to ask you the same question. What legacy are you leaving? Are you leaving a legacy of committed obedience to God's word? You see, what the Bible is telling us is that when we, when you and me, when each of us refuses to make a total commitment to the word of God, we are leaving a bad legacy. You see, we think the big important legacy is that I must leave a nice little inheritance. I must make sure the kids got a good education. No, no, no. The most important legacy. The most important legacy. Parents, listen. The most important legacy is that you leave a legacy where you were committed to God's word and your children's that you are seeking to live a life of commitment to God's word. A big part of the reason why this generation has abandoned God is that we Christians have refused to obey God's word. May I be frank, one of the areas we refuse to spread the gospel. Right now, GCA has been on a big campaign to try and encourage us to spread the gospel. Listen, and even though the Lord has told us that the fields are ripe and ready to harvest, there are Christians in this church who will get all the information, but they have made their mind up that I am too scared. You allowed the devil to give you every single reason why you should not be actually involved, why you should only get the information. My friend, listen. If we as the believers in Jesus Christ do not share the gospel, this generation is going to be lost. We are the only ones with the life-transforming message of the gospel, and we cannot afford to sit on it and make excuses as to why we're not going to share. And so I just want to say to you, my friend, this generation, you may not realize it, but there are thousands of young people in Philadelphia who have never heard the gospel. They were never told that Jesus Christ died for them. They have no idea that Jesus loves them, and that's why he went to the cross of Calvary. And you know it, but you're sitting on it. You said too many of us are in the canning business. We get all we can. We can all we get, and then we sit on the can. But God is asking us today to get off the can. To get off the can and start obeying the word of God, to start taking the gospel. You shall be witnesses to me all across the world. That is our mandate, to take this message. And might God help us. Listen. So listen, the two important aspects of rediscovering this rediscovering God. Number one, we must make sure that we are totally submitted to God. We're pursuing him with all our heart. But number two, we must also obey his word with all our heart. And as I close this message, my friend, I wonder which part applies to you. For some of you, it's you're not pursuing God. And this morning, God speaks to you and he says, it's time to come my way. For some of you, you love God's word, but you're not committed to obeying it. May God help you this morning that you would say, God, I'm available to you. I want to do my part so that my generation may rediscover God. And our Father, I pray that right now, in the quietness of this moment, you may speak to hearts and there might be decisions made for you, for your word today. Cause that it may achieve all the purposes for which you sent it. Continue to bless, we pray. Use us to make a difference in lives. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.